Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Well, we're about to hit the worst part of the summer. And imagine if you had to stand outside every day in the heat with few opportunities for hydration, stuck under that brutal sun day after day. Well, that's what's happening to our trees, and the drought is taking its toll on them. We're going to be talking about how to protect our trees and why more people should invest in getting some good, appropriate trees for their yard. Give us a call if you got questions and comments about trees. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And we're joined by Paul Johnson, the Urban Forester Program at Texas A&M Forest Service. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Happy to be here.
So how bad is it? How are the trees doing?
This year, right now, because Mother Nature gave us some rain in the last few weeks, they're doing a lot better than they were. It was looking like it was going to be another year similar to 2011, where we literally lost hundreds of millions of trees in the Texas.
So we got a little bit of rain, but we know that doesn't break the drought. It does provide some relief for the trees, but is the effect of the drought and the heat and the lack of water, is it cumulative? How does it bear on the trees?
It really is cumulative, and it is a combination between temperature and the amount of water that is available. As the temperature goes higher and higher and higher, the trees need more water in order to be able to survive. So the fact that we've had kind of a cooler than normal spring has helped us since we had below normal rainfall.
All right, let me get callers on the air. Call in if you got questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. I know there's a lot of people out there got a lot of questions. Brian, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source, Brian. Go ahead.
Yes, my comment was if we leave the leaves underneath the tree, it helps build the soil. But also, if you really pay attention to water and between your house, for example, where your gutter comes out and the street where the water eventually goes, if you slow that water down, you can build things called rainwater gardens and help that water infiltrate right to the root system of your trees. So if you think about it, in a really big rain, even though your rain gauge says you got 3 inches of rain, if 2 inches of it ran off, you really only watered your tree by 1 inch. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, Brian, appreciate that. You do want to, you know, leaves, any kind of mulching kind of item around the base of your tree?
Yes, mulch definitely helps, and leaves are the original mulch. That's, you go out into the forest and you look down, you see last year's leaves. You dig down through that and you see the broken up leaves from the year before that. That's where compost and mulch all originally started, and we're just trying to mimic that natural process. Certainly helps. Any kind of rainwater capture that you can do can help, but you also want to be careful not to change the level of the soil under an existing tree, or you might damage the roots that you are otherwise trying to help.
And I have a confession to make that when people were raking their leaves and they were bagging them and putting them on the curbside, I was going around stealing those leaves. I just couldn't leave them alone. I said, those leaves are so good. I want those leaves. I would drive up in my truck in the middle of the night and throw them in the back of my truck, and I would put them in my compost pile. That's gold. You know, and it's just going to go to the landfill?
When I was doing work commercially, it just frustrated me so much because people would pay me to come remove the leaves out from around their shrubs and then pay me again to come and put mulch around them. I'm like, well, okay. Of course, I took the leaves home and put them into my compost pile. And so I kind of won three times on that, but they didn't.
So, but the problem is you don't want to build up around the base of your tree too much above the root line. Is that correct?
What you don't want to do is you don't ever want to let the mulch pile up against the trunk of the tree. Roots are supposed to be constantly moist. The trunk isn't. It's supposed to dry out in between waterings, in between rains.
Okay, so be careful with that. So is that why sometimes you see sort of like the donut look around of the mulching around the tree? You kind of have the base sort of dip in? Is that the idea?
Yes, the idea is to have a little bit of separation between the mulch and the trunk of the tree. But the other thing about mulch is it's not like aspirin. With aspirin, people think, oh, I've got a really bad headache. The bottle says 2, I'll take 4. We say 2 inches of mulch.
Don't do that with aspirin either.
Don't do that, but people do it. With mulch, absolutely don't, because you can block the oxygen getting into the soil, and you can even block those light rainfalls, those light waterings, from being able to get into the soil if there's too much mulch under the tree.
And so what's the appropriate amount of mulch?
A 2-inch depth is great.
Okay. All right. Let's get another caller on the line. Jesse has called in, and the number is 614-8980 if you want to join in also. Jesse, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I'm an arborist by trade, retired. But is this a city arborist that's answering questions?
No. Paul Johnson, I'm with the Texas A&M Forest Service, run the Urban Forestry Program for the state.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked, I was hoping you were, because I'm just absolutely appalled, just like any other arborist that sees this practice. Now, you see the city approving contracts with contractors, with builders all over the state, all over the city, that put trees up where they're not going to get watered. You know, and they put them on these medians, you know, in so many areas along the highway, and these trees are not going to get watered and they die. And I'm just wondering if you have an answer for that.
You mean that the trees aren't in a place where they can get runoff, or how do you know they're not going to get water?
Well, because I see these things dying. You know, I mean, okay. It's just about everywhere.
I think we've all seen those.
Yeah, it's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, you know, you see trees that are parked or they're planted underneath. This mostly happens around areas where they're building homes or building office spaces. And you see these trees that are being planted right underneath telephone lines. And then years later, we're paying trimmers that are funded by us, by the city, to go over there and constantly prune these things on an annual basis.
Well, Jesse, I think that you bring up a really important point, that it's a balance between the benefits that we get from trees, the clean air, the shade, the cooling, all of those great things that they do, including helping us use less water, with the other potential downsides. In terms of the placement of trees, there are ordinances in the city of San Antonio that require tree planting in certain situations and certain number of trees, those kinds of things. And the city's always doing its best to get the best quality tree, the best selection, planted at the best time of year. But if a building is finishing in the middle of July and they want their certificate of occupancy, you can't not let them occupy their business for the next 3-4 months until it's time to plant trees. So it's all a balance between multiple needs. And I can guarantee you that I know Mark Bird very well and a lot of the staff at the city. They really are trying. And many of the trees that are planted in this area do receive irrigation, even if it's not particularly obvious. You may have seen the big green pyramidal bags around the base of trees around town. Those are a watering device so that the city can send a truck by, fill it up with water. It holds about 20 gallons of water and slowly over about 12 hours soaks down into the soil.
All right, we're talking about the drought and trees. Are you ready to let your lawn go brown, but you want to protect your trees? Give us a call if you've got questions and comments, how to take care of your trees. The number is 210-614-8980. Don't let the summer kill your trees. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. During these times of drought, trees and landscape plants are taking the effect of this hot, dry weather, and some of the trees just can't handle it. You see them just giving up the ghost sometimes. It's a sad sight, but it can be avoided, particularly if it's a tree in your front yard or backyard. You can give it a right amount of water to nurse it through these tough times until it becomes the water starts falling out of the sky again. With me to talk about this is Paul Johnson. He's the urban forester. He's with the Texas A&M Forest Service. So what is the number one thing that people should take away from this program about how to take a better care of their tree?
The number one thing to remember, if we have not had significant rain, which means more than an inch in the last 2, 3, maybe as many as 4 weeks, you better be out there watering.
And what does that mean, out there watering? Like, have the sprinklers going on 24/7?
No. Of course, always follow local regulations and rules. The good thing is that saws in the city do give you the ability to water your trees. My recommendation, if we haven't had any rain in 2 to 4 weeks, then I would apply 2 inches of water underneath the crown of the tree. The crown is the green leafy area. We call the drip line the edge of the tree. So if you looked at where the rain would drip off of the edge of the ends of the branches all the way around the tree, from that point towards the trunk is the area where you should concentrate your irrigation efforts.
So just with a hose? just
with a hose, with a sprinkler system, with a drip system, with a soaker hose, according to regulations, of course. Sprinklers, as long as the humidity is high, you don't lose a lot to evaporation before it hits the ground. So it can be a very effective way of applying water over a large area. If we start getting into those really low relative humidities below 40%, then you certainly would want to use maybe a portable drip system, a soaker hose, something like that.
We were talking about those large Gator bags before we went to break, and those can be pretty pricey, about $30 for one of those bags. And a cheapy solution is those big barrels that you can get at your big box Home Depot type store. Cost like $3.
5 gallon bucket, any kind of old bucket or something that you don't mind drilling a hole in the base. The whole idea behind a tree gator, the bucket, anything like that, is to slow the water down just a little bit so that it can soak into the ground more effectively. If you just turn on the end of your hose, a lot of that water runs off the surface and doesn't soak down as quickly as we would like it to.
If they would just make those buckets, those 5 gallon buckets in green, and label on the side of them tree irrigating system, they could charge $10 for those things, you know, and make extra money, you know.
Well, there may be somebody listening that wants to make a little bit of money and might be able to produce something just like that.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. All right, let's get some callers on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Mark on the air. Mark, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thank you. How are y'all?
Doing good. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I've got a well-established 25-year-old red oak in the backyard. As I've noticed over the last few years with the lack of rain, it seems like some of the roots are coming toward the top of the ground, or else it's soil erosion. I'm not sure. But more importantly is, it seems like on a certain side of it, about a foot up, some of the bark is starting to detach from the bottom of the tree. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, a bad sign. And if it is there something I can do to save this really nice tree, or, you know, any suggestions would help.
Certainly. Yes, it is a bad sign when bark starts coming off of the tree. Hypoxylin canker is one of the diseases that we see as being very prevalent in times of stress from drought. The first sign is the bark starting to slough off of the tree. And that happens because as the fungus is starting to reproduce, it builds up pressure and actually pushes the bark off of the tree. Underneath that, in the early spring, you'll tend to see kind of a light tan, almost looks like hot chocolate powder underneath the bark. Later in the season, it goes to kind of a silvery look. And if it gets even later, it can be a dark black, almost tar-looking substance on the trunk of your tree.
What's the solution?
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, the solution is make sure that your trees stay well-watered so they don't get it. There are no treatments labeled for use on hypoxylin canker. There are people out doing research right now trying to find some things that can help. But if you look in the literature, it basically says if you see it, your tree's going to die, and don't leave it up too long because it also seems to weaken the structural integrity of the tree.
Mm. Okay, so the days are kind of numbered then.
Well, maybe. This is one where I would really recommend that you get an ISA certified arborist. ISA is the International Society of Arboriculture. Find an ISA certified arborist and have them come out and inspect that tree. Make sure that is what the problem is, and if it is, that you manage the situation the best that you can, so that it doesn't become a risky situation.
Okay, Mark, thank you for
calling. Is it possible to ask one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
Is there a certain life expectancy to a tree like that, or will they live for hundreds of years?
There are, depending upon species, different life expectancies. A lot of the flowering pears, you look at a useful life of somewhere between 12 to 25 years. You look at a live oak, and it may have a useful life expectancy of 300 years. In an urban setting, it might be a little bit shorter than what you would see out in a natural setting.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Appreciate it. This fungus canker thing, is that just for like red oaks, or is that hitting all the trees?
It hits most all of our species. Primarily happens on our hardwoods, those that drop their leaf at some point during the year. But it has been seen on many, many, many of our species.
And is this fungus spreading because of the stress, because of the drought?
It is being seen because of the stress from the drought. The idea is that there are probably fungal spores on all of our trees already, because it's a very common, and there's a little bit of controversy in the tree world, because some people think that it actually is kind of that final nail in the coffin that kills the tree. Other people think that it really is just showing up on a tree that's already dead, but the tree just doesn't know it yet. So it may still be a little bit green, but it's gotten so dry that it's not really alive anymore.
Okay, another caller. Rob has called in. Rob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I live up in Austin. I've got a big oak in the backyard, and the way the fences are and the way the yard drains, I get, like last week we had several inches, I get an inch or two of water that'll sit not at the trunks but right off the drip line of this one tree for a day or so. And I got to thinking maybe that's good because the water is going to ultimately soak in the ground right there. But is that bad for the tree? And again, it's not right on the trunks itself, but off center of it. But if the water, you know, several inches of water can sit there for a day or so.
So intermittent standing water.
Yeah, that's not something I would be overly concerned about on most of our oak species. If you had something that was really, really xeric, if you had a mesquite or something like that, you might be more concerned, but as long as it's out towards the drip line, it allows the roots that can go 2 to 3 times the length of the branches will be in that area. But if the lack of oxygen in the soil for a day or two were to affect those roots, it wouldn't be enough of the root system of the tree to be a real problem.
Okay, Heather has called in. Let's get Heather on the air. Welcome to The Source, Heather.
Hi, my name's Heather, and my comment more so is, we've done our part on trying to make our water footprint as small as possible. We quit watering the front yard, just trying to keep the trees, the crepe myrtles and the trees alive, and trying to make it look not as bad, but we've kind of resigned to the fact of not keeping our front yard alive anymore. But we've also taken out part of our backyard, put in a big flagstone patio, and trying to take out parts of the grass in the backyard to reduce the amount of footprint that we have water-wise. And as a neighborhood, we've all gotten together and decided that we're going to kind of work together with keeping it down low, because we all want the aquifer to drink, not to look at our grass. And that's one of my comments is, you know, poor people just kind of think about it's water to drink and water to keep alive. My grass isn't that important.
All right, Heather, thanks for that call, and thanks for your concerns about the aquifer and our environment. But we do have to take care of our trees. The trees do reduce the heat island effect. When we have so many of them, they can cool off the area through their evaporation. They can reduce so much noise that we have in the city. They help clean the air. They're a great investment, not just monetarily, but just for quality of life.
Absolutely are. They make our community survivable. Not just livable, but survivable. It makes such a big difference. Skin cancer rates are lower for people that live in areas with more trees in them, because, of course, the trees are capturing a lot of that sun. Breathing problems are less time in the hospital. It just the benefits go on and on. And they even mean that you can have a green lawn using less water. So if you look at the SAW's recommendations, and the watering in the shade is always somewhere close to half of what it is in the sun.
So if I was going to go plant some new trees in my yard right now, what trees should I be looking at?
I wouldn't plant any right now.
Okay.
The ideal planting season is between Halloween and St. Patrick's Day. And I would look for the largest growing specimens that you can find. So live oaks are extremely popular with oak wilt, maybe not the best. Mexican or sycamore is a great species for this area. Even though it's a sycamore, it's still very, very drought tolerant.
Mexican sycamore.
Mexican sycamore. The national champion is here in town at Trinity University.
What do you mean the national champion?
I mean, there is a list of all of the biggest known specimens of individual trees. And the largest one is here in San Antonio, planted in the 80s.
I got to go check that one out. Okay, all right. So we got to have you back on the air because we had so many calls we couldn't get to them, Paul. But so many interesting and concerned people about their trees and a lot of questions we didn't get to here between you and I.
Yes,
so thanks for joining us here on The Source.
Appreciate the offer.
All right, and this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.